the new Silicon Valley after Steve Jobs' death. Silicon Valley didn't decelerate down, it erupted. The startup scene exploded with a new surge of authors who had grown up adoring him. They didn't just quote him. They erected their entire companies around his gospel. What Jobs had done was rewire how entrepreneurs allowed about creation. He showed that you didn't need to choose between art and technology. You could combine them. And that's what the coming generation tried to do. Walk down Sand Hill Road in 2013, and you'd hear his name in every pitch meeting. Youthful authors would stand before investors, slides full of minimalist sources, brooding that their product was like Apple but for X. Everyone wanted to be the coming Steve. But then's the thing, they didn't completely understand what that meant. Jobs was then trying to be Apple. He was trying to be right. And that's an important harder thing to imitate. The new votaries, let's look at who carried the arsonist. Elon Musk took Jobs' preoccupation with integrating design and engineering and applied it to buses and rockets. Like Jobs, he believed in perpendicular integration, controlling every part of the product experience. From Tesla's clean interface to the way SpaceX rockets landed upright, the echoes of Apple's perfectionism were far and wide. But Musk's style was more chaotic. Jobs ruled with perfection. Musk thrived on chaos. Both believed in insolvable deadlines, insomniac nights, and the idea that great work needed pain. Jeff Bezos of Amazon respected Jobs' long-term thinking. Bezos formally said, "Steve was a schoolteacher. He tutored the world that design and experience matter." But where Jobs loves accretiveness, Bezos loves scale. He didn't watch if his bias looked beautiful. He watched if 100 million people could go them. Also came Mark Zuckerberg, who originally worshipped Jobs' clarity, but ultimately veered into commodity darker. Jobs' empathy for druggies turned into Zuckerberg's preoccupation with engagement criteria. The assignment got lost nearly. Still, every one of them, Musk, Bezos, Zuckerberg, Cook, operated in a world Jobs had defined. He'd turned technology from a tool into a culture. The philosophy of simplicity, you could trace Jobs' fingerprints in every ultramodern product. When Google released its Pixel phones, the packaging felt familiar: white box, centered totem, clean typography. When Microsoft redesigned Windows, it dumped clutter for flat simplicity. Indeed, auto dashboards began mimicking Apple interfaces. Contrivers far and wide studied his less but better approach. That expression came from Dieter Rams, the German developer Jobs respected. Rams believed that good design is invisible, honest, and dateless. Jobs took that idea and made it mainstream. He didn't just produce products. He created taste. Minimalism stopped being an aesthetic and came a worldview. White space was an emptiness. It was confidence. And that mindset shaped everything from UI design to armature to branding. The rise of the creator generation by 2015, commodity strange, had happed everyone wanted to produce. Jobs had made creativity feel like a right, not an honor. You didn't need to be a coder or a mastermind, you could be an artist with an iPhone. Social media platforms like Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok exploded with people using Apple bias to shoot, edit, and publish their work. Millions of generators were born from tools Jobs had envisaged for the rest of us. His 1984 dream, the computer as a bike for the mind, had eventually reached full speed. A teenager in Bangladesh could make a film on an iPhone. A developer in Lagos could launch a brand on a MacBook. That's what Jobs meant when he said technology was supposed to empower. The irony? He'd always been suspicious of the internet's social side. He loved focus, not distraction. He would have abominated scrolling feeds, but he would have loved the art being made with his tools. The heritage of the presentation, indeed the way people talked about technology, changed. Before Jobs, tech donations were dull. After him, they were theater. When a new incipiency launched, they mimicked his meter, black stage, limelight, big reveal. Authors rehearsed their one further thing moments. Investors anticipated seductiveness, not spreadsheets. Jobs turned liar into a business skill. But what made his keynotes important was not the polish, it was a belief. When he unveiled a new product, you could tell he authentically allowed it was magic. That authenticity could then be faked. And that's where so numerous imitators failed. They copied the style, not the soul. The redefinition of design, Steve Jobs made design a boardroom word. Before him, CEOs talk about perimeters and logistics. After him, they talk about typography and stoner experience. Apple contrivers had seats at the table alongside masterminds and directors. That shift gurgled across diligence. Suddenly, companies from Nike to Netflix to Airbnb started putting design leaders in administrative places. Design was end decoration. Presently, it was strategy. Jobs formally said, "Design is how it works." That line came a mantra across Silicon Valley. It reminded everyone that beauty without function is vanity, and function without beauty is atrocity. He proved that good design is empathy in form. The culture of insanely great inside Apple, Jobs Go still visited the halls. Every new leader had to balance reverence and rebellion. Tim Cook's Apple came more measured, further global, more inclusive. He expanded Apple's reach into health, sustainability, and availability. Yet indeed, as the tone softened, the core anticipation, insanely great, remained. New hires were told stories of Jobs walking into design reviews, staying silent for twinkles, also saying one ruinous word, awful, and everyone would start over. It was an atrocity, it was clarity. He believed excellence came from pressure, not comfort. That culture stayed alive because it worked. Apple workers still speak of the Steve standard, a gut feeling that tells you commodity is ain't ready yet. The moral question then's a part people frequently skip. Jobs change how we relate to technology, but he also created new problems. The iPhone normalized creativity, but also dependence. The pursuit of simplicity made effect intuitive, but it also made them unnoticeable. People stopped allowing about how effects worked. Would Jobs have watched? Presumably. He formally advised about the troubles of losing the mortal spirit to technology. But he also knew progress no way comes without cost. He was an a saint. He was a builder. Builders break effects to make better bones. Still, the moral debate he sparked continues. Can technology be both profitable and ethical? Can design empower without manipulating? These are the questions every ultramodern author wrestles with, and they all trace back to him. The Apple School of Thought moment. Business seminaries educate entire courses on Jobs' leadership, not just his successes, but his dichotomies, how he could inspire, and blackjack, how he balanced chaos and control, how he turned vision into culture. Scholars study the next times as assignments in adaptability, and the Pixar period as assignments in creative freedom. They learn that failure is, and the contrary of success, it's part of it. But the real takeaway is, and about operation tactics. It's about belief. Jobs formally said, "You have to trust that the blotches will ever connect in your future." That idea liberated people. It gave authorization to be uncertain, to take pitfalls without guarantees. That's his real heritage to the coming generation. Not the iPhone, not the iPad, but the courage to follow curiosity. The quiet revolution, every so frequently, a new Apple launch reignites the same debate. Would Steve have done it this way? The verity is, it doesn't matter presently. The fact that people still ask means his influence has ain't faded. He came the heart of an entire assiduity. Indeed, companies that contend with Apple still define themselves in discrepancy to him. They're either more open than Apple, cheaper than Apple, or faster than Apple. But Apple's a reference point. That's the ultimate palm. When your absence becomes a measure of others' presence, you've achieved eternity. What this all means, a world Jobs helped make is more connected, creative, and complex than ever. His inventions reshape how we communicate, work, love, and dream. But his topmost achievement is in the bias. It's in the mindset they represent. He showed humanity that technology could be beautiful and that beauty could be functional. He showed entrepreneurs that plutocrat follows meaning, not the other way around. He showed artists that engineering could be poetry. And he showed the rest of us that allowing else is and a watchword, it's a responsibility. Steve Jobs no way wrote law like in Mastermind, but he rewrote the law of creativity. He understood people better than processors. That was his real operating system, the mortal mind. He believed that technology was and about circuits or chips. It was about emotion. When he spoke about computers, he didn't talk specs. He talked dreams. "The computer is a bike for the mind," he said, and that line added up everything. Technology should make people more important, not for the mechanical. After his death, this mortal-centered gospel began to transcend into every corner of ultramodern invention, from classrooms to design workrooms to commercial boardrooms. Jobs' real revolution was ent-in-tackle. It was in how people allowed about purpose. The classroom revolution education had always fascinated Jobs. He saw it as a frontier that demanded dismembering the most. He formally said, "I was lucky. I set up what I loved beforehand." Utmost people do, Ant. That's the tragedy. He abominated traditional training because it smothered curiosity. He wanted kiddies to discover, not study. Decades laterally, that vision started to unfold. Apple came a foundation of ultramodern classrooms. iPads replaced handbooks. Rendering came part class, and creativity tools came as important as calculators. The everyone can produce and everyone can code enterprise, launched under Tim Cook, were straight out of Jobs' playbook. They were about turning kiddies into programmers. They were about making sure technology felt like a oil, not a pen. Seminaries that formerly banned bias now tutored art and calculation through them. And that's the irony. Jobs, the powerhouse, had come education's most important schoolteacher. The psychology of simplicity at the heart of Jobs' design gospel was a simple idea: remove what doesn't matter. But simplicity isn't easy. It's cerebral warfare. Humans love complexity because it makes us feel smart. Jobs fought that instinct relentlessly. He believed true intelligence lay in clarity, not clutter. When he worked with Johnny Ive on the first iPhone, they spent weeks mooting the number of buttons. One, that was the answer. One button to rule them all. It was not about minimalism. It was about confidence. A product should feel egregious, ineluctable, natural. However, they'd failed if you demanded a primer. That same psychology drives product design moment. From Airbnb's booking inflow to Tesla's dashboards, the thing is emotional simplicity, make druggies feel in control. Jobs called the crossroad of technology and liberal trades. What he meant was design for the heart first, the head second, and that mortal first sense change how entire diligence suppose. Design as emotion, then's the secret Jobs no way vended bias. He vended passions. The Mac made you feel creative. The iPod made you feel free. The iPhone made you feel connected. That emotional branding still energies Apple moment. It's why they can launch a slightly thinner phone and make it feel profound. Because the product is just a vessel. The real product is belief. Contrivers around the world learn from this emotional frugality. Companies like Airbnb, Spotify, and Nike stopped selling products and started selling identity. You weren't buying commodity. You were getting commodity. Jobs formally said, "People with passion can change the world for the better." He was right, but he missed one thing: is passion change how people define themselves through what they use. That's both inspiring and a little haunting. The ethics of influence with great design came great power, and Jobs' heritage forced a new question: how important emotion is too important? When tech becomes emotional, it becomes addicting. That's the pressure he left before. Apple's products are erected to delight, but they also demand attention. The smooth robustness, the satisfying sounds, the instant delectation, their cerebral design choices, not accidents. Jobs wanted technology to vanish, to come unnoticeable, but the assiduity that followed him made it universal. He formally said, "I do want to make products that people use. I want to make products people love." Moment, love, and reliance blur fluently. Still, the companies that have stayed true to Jobs' deeper intent, those structure tools for creativity and commission, prove that it's possible to use emotional design without manipulation. The real challenge is and to make tech addicting. It's to make it meaningful. The supposed different generation Jobs, supposed different crusade was and just flashing. It was a fiat. It celebrated the crazy bones, the misfits who refused to accept the world as it was. That idea came energy for an entire generation of generators. Filmmakers, artists, incipiency authors each carried that arsonist. When a YouTuber edits a videotape on a MacBook, when an indie game inventor cannons on a Mac Studio, when a developer opens Sketch on a Retina display, they're sharing in that heritage. Jobs gave creativity credibility in the digital age. He made it cool again to be passionate, compulsive, weird. The irony? He no way wanted to be a part model. He just wanted to make great stuff. But greatness is graveness, and people can't help but circumvent it. Leadership by intuition, Steve Jobs defied Operation Proposition. He was then a data Joe. He trusted instinct, and he tutored others to trust theirs. He formally told his chronicler, Walter Isaacson, "Some people say, give guests what they want, but that's not my approach. Our job is to figure out what they're going to want before they do." That line came philosophy in Silicon Valley. Prognosticate, do ent reply. Led, do ent follow. But Jobs' suspicion was ent magic. It was a result of compulsive empathy. He spent endless hours using his own products, walking through the client experience, noticing the smallest frustrations. He felt what people wanted. Ultra-modern UX, stoner experience. Design is principally a systematized form of that suspicion. Every swipe, sound, and detention on your phone moment is guided by Jobs' principle. If it feels right, it's right. And that shift from data-driven to feeling-driven design was revolutionary. The art of focus Jobs concentrate framed on spiritual discipline. When he returned to Apple in 1997, the company had dozens of products. He killed nearly all of them. "We're going to make four great products," he told a platoon, drawing a simple grid on a whiteboard. A consumer laptop, a pro laptop, a consumer desktop, and a pro desktop. That's it. The room went silent. That one act of reduction saved Apple. Jobs understood that focus was then about doing lower. It was about doing what signified completely. It's the same principle that drives moments most successful startups. Clarity beats chaos. Every author who trims features, detainments launches, or says no to investors chasing growth at the cost of purpose, they're echoing Jobs. Focus is the most uncredited form of genius. The ripple effect Jobs' ideas didn't just shape Apple or tech. They reshape prospects. When you use a phone that doesn't feel intuitive, you notice. When a design feels cumbrous, you complain. That's because Jobs changed what good enough means. He raised the global birth of quality. Every product, from coffee machines to buses, carries his influence. Tesla's minimalist innards, Dyson's smooth angles, indeed Netflix's recommendation interface. They all conduct the same clarity, the same attention to mortal emotion. It's no longer about contending with Apple. It's about living up to the standard Jobs created. The spiritual side of innovation in his after times. Jobs grew deeply reflective. After his 2004 surgery, he started reading Zen textbooks again and spoke frequently about mortality. He said, "Flashing back that you can die is a stylish way I know to avoid the trap of allow you a commodity to lose." That line is further than gospel. It's strategy. It's why he made bold bets, killed successful products, and risk character. Mortality gave him urgency. And that's maybe his final assignment to generators, that great invention doesn't come from security. It comes from mindfulness of evanescence. When you know your time is limited, you make else. You watch more. You cut briskly. You transport sooner. That's how Jobs lived. And that's how he tutored others to make. The living heritage a decade after his death. The people who worked under him still talk about him like he's in the coming room. They quote him in meetings. They measure their work against his unnoticeable standard. And indeed, outside Apple, his fingerprints are far and wide. On the divisions of contrivers, the minds of authors, the dreams of scholars, Jobs formally said, "You say and connect the blotches looking forward. You can only connect them looking backward." Looking back now, those blotches form a constellation that covers nearly every creative field. He didn't just change computers. He changed creation itself. The world Jobs erected when Steve Jobs failed in October 2011, millions mourned as if they'd lost a family member. It was and about Apple products. It was about what those products represented. Simplicity, ambition, possibility. Then the verity Jobs didn't just make a company. He erected a culture, a mindset that intermingled art and engineering, suspicion and intellect, beauty and function. And that mindset escaped Apple long gone. It lives in every incipiency author chasing a crazy idea, every developer obsessed with getting one pixel right, every sprat who looks at a blank screen and sees a new world standing to be erected. Jobs didn't construct the ultra-modern world. He tutored it how to suppose. The new industrial revolution, let's launch, then the artificial age was powered by manufactories. The Jobs period was powered by ideas. Before him, design was a finishing touch, commodity that came after the mastermind were done. Jobs flipped that. He made design the foundation, the soul of the product. That shift created an entire creative frugality. Suppose about it. Millions of app inventors, digital artists, YouTubers, shutterbugs, and musicians now make a living doing what they love, using tools that Jobs helped bring to life. The Mac gave them a stage. The iPhone gave them a followership. The App Store gave them freedom. In the 1980s, computers were coal machines. By 2025, they're extensions of identity. That bow traces straight back to Jobs. He normalized creation. You don't need a plan to change the world presently. You just need an idea and a device. That's the revolution he started. The global ecosystem, Apple's ecosystem, isn't just a lineup of products. It's a gospel of concinity. When Jobs spoke about integration, he wasn't just talking about syncing bias. He was talking about harmony. Tackle, software, and services all designed to feel like one nonstop experience. That thinking reshaped global tech. Google, Samsung, Microsoft, indeed Tesla, all ultimately espouse variations of ecosystem model. What this really means is Jobs force companies to watch about how effects feel together. He used to say, people do not want to suppose about technology. They just want it to work. That came the quiet aphorism of a connected earth. Every time your phone automatically backs up your prints or your auto updates itself overnight, you're living in the world he imagined where tech feels like magic because it hides its mechanics. Beyond Apple Jobs' heritage does end stop at Cupertino. Pixar continues to thrive as one of the world's most cherished workrooms. Flicks like Inside Out, Soul, and Essential echo his spirit mortal stories told through stirring technology. Pixar isn't just vitality, it's empathy rendered in pixels. In a way, Pixar may be Jobs' purest creation. It embodies everything he valued. Creativity, threat, liar, emotional verity. He formally said, technology alone isn't enough. It's technology married with the liberal trades that yields us the results that make our hearts sing. Pixar lives that line every day. And beyond that, his approach to business, his asseveration on purpose over profit, inspired a surge of charge-driven companies. From Patagonia's sustainability to SpaceX's boldness, you can trace his influence in every leader who refuses. To play it safe, the heritage of belief Jobs' most important invention was ent physical. It was belief. He believed that a small platoon of passionate people could change the world, and he proved it constantly. That belief has come the unnoticeable machine of ultra-modern entrepreneurship. Every pitch sun deck, every garage incipiency, every new adventure chasing the insolvable carries a bit of that Jobs' DNA. Indeed, in failure, his influence lingers. Because he tutored people to see failure not as an end, but as replication. The thing about belief is it multiplies. Jobs' belief in Apple came Apple's belief in the world. And that's why, times after his end, his voice still echoes through every keynote, every product launch, every quiet one further thing. The shadow of perfection, but let's be honest, his heritage is ent pristine. It's complicated, like all great stories. Jobs demanded perfection at any cost. That cost was frequently people. He was known to be brutal in meetings, dismissive of ideas he didn't like, indeed cruel to those who didn't meet his standard. His genius was thick from his intensity. That shadow still looms over Silicon Valley. The myth of the visionary author, the person who sacrifices everything for the dream, has led to collapse, poisonous societies, and unbounded pride. What this really means is Jobs set a new bar for excellence, but also a dangerous precedent for preoccupation. The assignment now is balance. Passion without empathy breaks effects. But passion guided by compassion builds patrimonies at last. The age of reflection moment. Apple feels different, quieter, further deliberate. Tim Cook's Apple is lower about revolution and further about refinement, sustainability, and responsibility. Some critics say it's lost its magic. Perhaps. But others argue that it's progressed. Jobs burn bright. Cook builds steady. Both matter. One sparked a fire. The other keeps it alive. Apple's current focus on sequestration, availability, and environmental design carries forward Jobs' deeper gospel respect for the stoner. It's the same idea, expressed through a different disposition. That's how patrimonies evolve, they acclimatize. The spiritual cord is keepsake. Jobs' family, Mona Simpson, said his last words were, "Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Oh, wow!" No bone knows what he saw, but it sounded exactly like him, astounded, curious, unafraid. For a man who chased beauty all his life, it feels befitting that his final moment was one of wonder. In his Stanford Inception speech, he said, "Stay empty, stay foolish." It was a watchword, it was a worldview. Hunger means curiosity. Foolishness means courage. Together, they make invention ineluctable. That's the true core of his life, not the products, not the gains, but the grim pursuit of commodity more. Commodity worth the threat. The continuum, so then we are, times latterly, living in a world shaped by one man's prepossessions. We unleash phones with our faces. We edit flicks in our bedrooms. We summon groceries, hacks, and entire worlds with a swipe. Jobs didn't produce these effects directly, but his ideas made them possible. He turned technology from a niche into a necessity, from commodity we use into commodity we live with. But perhaps the most important part of his heritage is this: he made people believe they could do it too. He proved that design, business, and art don't have to be separate languages. They can speak as one. And that's the world he erected, a place where creativity and technology eventually made peace. Epilogue: the fleck that connects still. The pattern is clear. If you step back and look at the blotches of Steve Jobs' life, a boy espoused into a working-class family in California, a council powerhouse who sat in on penmanship classes, a barefoot utopian who meditated in lamaseries, a fired CEO who came back to save his company, a visionary who changed how billions live and work. Every flex signified, every failure fed the coming success. Every argument stoned the vision. He lived exactly as he advised others, connecting blotches backward, trusting that ever they'd align. They did. And now, whether you're holding a phone, designing a product, or simply chasing commodity you love, you're part of that same constellation. The blotches go on.